Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for SN Fresen Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. where it's all about the food.
Hi and welcome to the SN Fresen show. I am Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and you've tuned into 101.9 High FM. Thank you for joining me. So I hope your Shabbos project was a healthy, as requested by the chief rabbi, and a relaxing one, and was so wonderful that your family can't wait to switch off again this Shabbos. So today, my very special guest, I really wanted to share South African recipes with you, and I was actually received a couple of books, lovely South African books, and my special guest today, who I'm so excited to introduce to you, is Portia Mbao, owner of the famous The Africa Cafe in Cape Town. Now, I haven't been there, but I believe it is fantastic. I know that she feeds thousands and thousands of people from all over the world. And she has now written her first cookery book, The Africa Cookbook. And I hope that she's on the line. Is she on the line?
Hi. Yeah, I'm on the line.
You are on the line, Portia.
Yeah, I'm on the line.
How wonderful to talk to you, and welcome to the show. And
thank you for having me.
And it's just terrific. When I received your book, I was so excited. I had to talk to you there and then. and you've just, the stories that you can share with my listeners are so beautiful and profound. And I just needed to talk to you. I mean, you've been cooking now for hundreds of thousands of people, as I said, for over 27 years. And your Cape Town restaurant, the African Cafe, is a world-renowned restaurant, and you have just written a wonderful cookbook, the Africa Cookbook. Is this your first cookbook?
I have had the cafe cookbook before.
Uh-huh, but this is some of the latest recipes and stories that, in fact, I'll be sharing quite a few of the recipes with the listeners a little later. But I wanted to, you know, what I love so much about these cookery books is that a lot of us can't eat at restaurants because they're not kosher. So when you bring these books out for us, this is fantastic, because now we can try everything that everybody else is eating. And and all the things that you are cooking in your restaurant. So
yes.
Tell us, so in 1992, Portia and her husband Jason opened a restaurant in Observatory Cape Town called Africa Cafe, and you've dedicated your life to celebrating and innovating African cuisine. Okay.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
At that stage, there were no restaurants in South Africa that offered local food made with soul, as you said. But
yes.
We have to go to a quick ad break. And when we come back, I want you to take us on the wonderful journey, which started in 1992. And actually, I'd like to go back a little earlier to when you first met your husband, Jason.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and we are talking to Portia Mbao. Is that the correct way of pronouncing your surname? I've been talking to Portia Mbao, and is that the correct way of pronouncing your surname?
Correct.
Oh, good. Okay. And we are going back a couple of years, just when you met your husband, Jason, and a little bit of what you went through, the two of you being a mixed relationship, a mixed color relationship.
Yes. That was very difficult in the early days.
Yes.
One kind of forgets about it right now. But, you know, when we met in Johannesburg, and we didn't really have a place that we could live together. And so we house set homes. And it was strange because when we both went for an interview so that the owners can meet us, they would refuse. And so time and time over this happened. So after a while we figured, you know what, Jason, you go, have the interview, when we get it, then we can go and live in the home. And I mean, we never had any complaints. You know, sometimes the gardener found out late, and I think he reported, and there was nothing wrong. But it was just difficult at the beginning because of the perception of a black person sleeping in the master bedroom of a home.
So you met Jason in Johannesburg?
We met in Johannesburg. Yes. And the reason we moved to Cape Town was because he had a home here. And he said, let's go to Cape Town. I have a house there. We can live in our home and we don't have to worry. And his home was in the classic suburb of Observatory.
Yes.
And that's where we actually opened the restaurant.
Right. So, and the restaurant, when you first opened it, I mean, it started off as a sort of a 10-people diner kind of restaurant. Was it in your home?
It was in the home.
Yes.
It was in the home, in fact. When we were about to give birth to my daughter 27 years ago, we had to close the restaurant because it was a home birth and it was in a porta pool. So we had to have the dining room cleared of all the tables, and that's where the birth was.
Oh, wow.
So it was right there in the house.
Okay. And, I mean, at that stage, we're talking 27 years ago, there were no restaurants in South Africa that offered local food. I mean, you just had sort of what did we have then? Chinese and Italian and things like that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And I've always been so passionate about African food and about the whole continent, not just about South African food, because the continent is rich. And as I mentioned in the book, when I studied in the States,
yes,
and we had an Africa Day, I actually tasted all the different foods and flavors and the colors from different parts of Africa. So I knew right from the beginning that I wanted to celebrate the whole continent, because the whole continent is rich with a vibrant energy, food, flavors, and tradition. So that's what I wanted to do. So when we first started the restaurant, the name had to be the Africa Cafe. In fact, initially, we thought it was going to be a kind of a smallish place. We didn't know it was going to get so big.
Wow. Yeah. Look at it today. how many staff do you have now?
We've got not that many, actually. We've got 25 waiters and managers, and then I've got 12 kitchen staff. Hmm. And the restaurant is only in the evening, but we do have a staff contingent during the day and at night, because again, there comes my passionate energy of cooking right from scratch.
Yes.
So I don't take anything out of a packet. I don't take anything out of a jar. Everything I make from scratch. If I need garlic powder, I'm going to peel my garlic, I'm going to dehydrate it, I'm going to crush it, and then I'm going to use it.
Wow.
So that's how I go right. And I even go to the point of growing my own garden.
I was just going to say, do you grow your own stuff?
I do.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And now, one question I'm not going to ask you is where your inspiration comes from, because I know your outlook. In Africa, you don't learn to cook at a cookery school. It all begins at home. Personal training comes from your taste buds and smell.
Yes, it is. Well, you know, when I thought of doing the Africa cookbook, I thought of all the women that actually have, over the years, passed down the tradition of rolling, of kneading, of rubbing, of growing, of everything. I've thought of all of that, and I get my inspiration from these beautiful, beautiful people of this continent, and in what they do, and they do it slowly. They do it with so much passion and so much energy, and that's where I get my inspiration from. And of course, the colors.
Yes, I know your favorite color is green. So, yeah, you talk about your task.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife. And thank you for being so patient while we hooked up with Porsche again. I wish you could see what our studio looks like. I was so determined to speak to Porsche, and we couldn't get hold of her on the phone. So we've set up my WhatsApp line to a speaker and connect to this and that, and we're going to try and chat. So as I asked earlier on, Porsche, you talk about your task as an African woman. Can you expand on this a little?
You know, we've got so many hurdles that we've kind of jumped as African people. Mm-hmm. And I as an African woman, you know, in the past we were viewed like the last on the rung of like white male, then white female, then black male and black woman. So write down all of that. So, but I feel there's so much right at the bottom. There's been so much support and nurturing and holding and enduring just to make sure that who we are, wherever we are on this continent, doesn't matter right now whether you are white or black or colored or Indian or whatever we call ourselves, that everything is going to be fine, that everything is being looked after. So as my experience has been just totally amazing, whatever big jumps I've had to make, it just made me not only stronger, it's made me kinder, it's made me more compassionate. So, and I feel that there's a lot of that in Africa. But despite it all, we smile, despite it all, we still nurture, we still laugh, we still have such a beautiful nature about us. So I just feel as a woman, there's been a lot of that. It's so in one soul.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. So now you have a daughter who I see is a stylist and a photographer.
Yes, yes.
A lot of creative genes in your family, I must say.
Yes, thank you.
And a son, Leo. And is Leo also involved in the family in the restaurant?
He has worked in the restaurant. You know, from time to time, both of them would have to kind of help at the front desk or help with waitering or help in the kitchen. So Leo decided to go and study hotel management.
Ah.
So the culinary sciences. So at the moment, he's actually doing that. He's just finishing his first year. It's a 3-year program.
Right.
And Luma obviously is doing her design and her illustration, and she also writes poetry. You see the poem in the book.
And
photography. She loves food. She loves food so much. And she said, I don't mind cooking it. I don't want to do it all day. I want to photograph it. I want to bring what is usually like a brown soup in a pot. I want to bring that alive because it tastes like it's alive. Yeah.
Well, she certainly has in this book. I mean, the photographs are absolutely beautiful. So now, a couple of questions. Uh-huh. Which famous people have you cooked for? I mean, I'm sure there are plenty, but somebody who's left an impression on you.
You know, Janet Jackson came to the restaurant years ago, many moons ago.
Yes.
And I made, which is in the recipe book actually, the piri piri dip, which is like a Mozambican chili dip. Is like dried chilies, lemon and salt. And she loved it so much that she said, please, can you bottle these for me? I want to take this back. This is the best chili dip that I've ever had. And I marinate the wings in it, and you do lots of stuff in it. And we had to go to the CSIR to find out because it's made with fresh garlic and fresh lemon, to find out how we can bottle it so that it can keep without putting too much preserve, because I'm so against preservatives and MSG and all that stuff. So she's been a famous person that came, and I really enjoy cooking for people. From time to time, I have waitresses and my son and daughter will say, Mom, did you know so-and-so was in the restaurant? I go, you know what? I just want people to come and enjoy. I don't know who they are.
Yes.
And they all look so different. I mean, Nicolas Cage has been to the restaurant. So we've had various people throughout the years.
Yes.
And they just come like incognito and kind of have their meal and then leave. We don't make a big fuss about them. We treat them like we treat everybody else with respect.
Which is that they probably keep returning and you don't realize because you treat them like a normal person.
Yes, yes, we do.
Now, when you get home, okay, and you...
Yes.
You kick off your shoes and you relax at home. What is your favorite meal that you love to throw together? Or do you just take it home from the restaurant?
I do also do that. I like the chicken wings, so I take that home from the restaurant. Yes. But I just like throwing together a salad. A salad is so quick. And I've got a dressing in there. It's like a salad dressing. Those are the Congo. It's a jungle dressing. And I travel with that dressing.
I'm going to give it to everybody just now when we finish the interview.
Yes,
it's amazing.
It is made with some avo and coriander. So that's what I have, a big, big jar of that in the fridge. So whatever I have, a few leaves, tomatoes, I open the fridge and see what is there. Baby spinach, I go and pick some rocket. I pick some bits of stuff in the garden and some herbs, and I kind of just throw it all together with some cucumber, and then I use the dressing. The dressing is what makes it. And then you can put a baked potato in the oven or a sweet potato in the oven or even a boiled potato, and that's my quick, easy meal. I eat a lot of vegetarian, as I said. I bring the chicken wings from the restaurant, but I love vegetables. Vegetables are so, I feel they are alive, so I like them, and I know, at the time that I'm chopping them, they're still alive. And so there's lots of gratitude.
Oh, I love that section where you talk about ethics and the morals of food. It really was wonderful to read that. And memories, like things that bring back memories for you. I mean, I know that the pots that you used to use, I mean, however, 27 years ago, those were your mom's pots, and then you used to cook on your mother-in-law's beautiful gas stove.
Yes, yes.
You know, what food memories do you have?
Oh, yes, I've got food memories, lots of them, but the one particular, and I think I mentioned it in the book, is achar. You know, I love it. And I travel to India a lot as well. And wherever I go in Africa, especially East Africa, which is influenced by India, I like finding out, what is your pickle? What is your achar? Do you have an achar here? Something that's really nice and piquant, and it has that chili, and it's got the sourness, and I just love that. So for me, any good achar, and I've got lots of different achars, and I kind of, that's not good. And I've tried making it myself, but I just cannot get that lovely mix of that mango pickle, a pickle and an achar. But then, of course, I like all pickles. I like pickled onions. I like pickled veggies. So I like all kinds of pickles. I don't know why, but I just love them. That's my go-to thing. That, and that's a memory I have from years ago. It's like something pickled.
Now, do you think that, with such a huge interest in, like on TV with these famous TV chefs and, do you think that we've reached a sort of neutral plateau, or do you find that you ever get bored with what you're making? I mean, I'm not talking about things like, Heston Blumenthal, where you're going to go and make foamy, puffy, flighty things, but, are you constantly recreating old traditional food, or are you not fixing what ain't broken?
I am a constant creator. I'm constantly creating. I'm adding new, whatever, there's a new thing, and I also follow other foodies. What are they doing around the world, in South Africa, in Africa, and I'm always adding, and I'm always experimenting. I'll come back from India, or I'll come back from, I usually travel to the East, and I'll think, but they use that, they use galangal. Now what can I do? How can I make this mine? And I'm constantly doing that. And I love experimenting. I love experimenting with everything. I find lemongrass, and then I do a little bit of this with that. So it never stops. I've got many recipe books in my head and lots of scraps of papers still to do that. constantly. And of course, as I mentioned as well, I went through a period of being raw, and I went through a period of being just keto, eating just a whole lot of meat and stuff. So I've got a whole lot of raw recipes, and I've got a lot of vegan and vegetarian recipes, tons and tons. Yes. That's why the book is a lot of vegan and vegetarian recipes are actually also in the book. I kind of slipped them in as well.
Right. Now,
I Africanized them.
I have to ask you, your busy life, do you ever get a date night out with your husband?
You know, I usually am just home, just relaxing, reading what we do together. Now and again, we actually walk on the mountain.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you'd sit on the beach at sunset with a bottle of wine.
No, I walk early. I'm up at 5:30, and I walk on the mountain, and I see the sunrise, and yet another beautiful day and day of possibilities.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Yeah.
That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, on that beautiful note, I am going to say goodbye, because otherwise I won't be able to have time to share some of your wonderful recipes. So the first one, of course, I'm going to be sharing is your Cape fish cakes. Then I'm going to be sharing your salad dressing. So, Portia, thank you. Thank you for joining us, and lots of luck with your wonderful, beautiful new book. And, one day when I'm in Cape Town, I'll come and visit you.
Please do. Okay. And thank you for having me.
Thank you, Portia. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Okay.
Bye.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the Essen Fresen Show. I hope that you were able to hear that interview, because she's such a lovely, dynamic woman. I will be sharing, of course, some lovely recipes with you. But before I share recipes, let me just tell you that if you ever need to talk, you're feeling stressed out, you're emotionally overwhelmed, abused, phone our helpline. 101.9 High FM helpline toll free number is 0800-242436, where they are caring, they are compassionate, and it's very confidential. And sometimes you may think, oh, it's such a small problem, you know, the bigger things in the world to worry about. No, every little problem that we have is important for the helpline people to help you. So now we're back onto recipes. And I must say that these recipes are quick, they're light, they're easy, and they introduce new flavors into your kitchen that you've possibly never used before. I mean, some of them I haven't. And recipes that can make you, that you can make with your children, just perfect for any time of the day or night. And nourishing, substantial, lovely, lovely food. And they say that food is what nurtures us. And when we're young and it nurtures us so that when we're older, should I say, we remember those times of how we were nurtured. Think of chicken soup and knoedlach. I mean, to this day, my children, the minute they're sick, it's like, it's a staple in a home. There just has to be chicken soup and knoedlach. But we are talking Cape fish cakes now from the famous Africa Cafe. Now, Portia says traditional Cape Malay fish cakes, sometimes called fish fricadelle, are deliciously spicy. I make my fish cakes with mustard and paprika to give a smoky barbecue flavor and the addition of mayonnaise. Preferably, she says, homemade, but, you know, for some of us, it's easier just to go out and buy it. And it adds a cooling tanginess that rounds off the savory bite. Now, I actually have heard of mayonnaise before in fish cakes. I've heard of mashed potato as well. But let me give you her recipe. You will need 1 kilo of fish minced. You will need 1 onion diced, 1/2 cup of finely chopped parsley. I like the flat leaf. It's easier to check. 1/2 cup of finely chopped dhania, which is coriander, 1 tablespoon of mustard powder, 1 teaspoon of milled black pepper, 1 teaspoon of smoked paprika, but that's where you get that lovely smoked flavoring from, 2 eggs, lightly beaten, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 cup of mayonnaise, store-bought, or you can make your own homemade, it's quite easy to make, and 3/4 cup of breadcrumbs. Or you can use the gluten-free fine rice flour. Then you'll also need vegetable oil for shallow frying. Okay, so now we place all the ingredients except the fish and oil into a mixing bowl, and you just whisk it all together. Add the fish and mix it thoroughly. And then you form it into patties and set it aside for about 15, 20 minutes to allow the ingredients to combine. I put mine in the fridge. And then heat the oil in a frying pan and fry the fish cakes over medium heat till golden brown on both sides. So what she's done is actually she formed them into little patties, I suppose, roll them up with wet hands, and then you sort of flatten them, press them down. And then you can serve it with her famous peri peri dip, which I'm going to give you the recipe for. That's the one she was talking about where Michael Jackson's sister, I've forgotten her name, came into the restaurant and got her making that to sell at the restaurant. You can, of course, make a fish burger, she suggests. Make a fish burger and put that with some nice lettuce and tomato and more mayonnaise. Now, fish cakes, a little tip she gives here, fish cakes will break if the mixture is too wet. So use a paper towel to dry parsley and dhania after rinsing. You can buy minced fish at the fish counter. Most supermarkets have it, or at any fish market. Otherwise, you just place the fish in a food processor and pulse to create a textured mince. Now, a textured, don't over pulse it, otherwise it becomes too, I prefer to mince it. Anyway, now I'll give you her recipe, the peri peri dip, on page 76 in her book, which I must say is the most beautiful book. And you know what I've noticed with people with books is that today they are giving you recipes and every page has a recipe. As I did in my book, because people want to actually see what it should look like and what it looks like in the end. And these pictures, as she says, by her daughter are absolutely beautiful. So the Queen of Chili Dips has given the Africa Cafe a reputation for serving hot food. It goes well with all savory dishes and serves as a marinade for my chicken wings. Many people have begged me to bottle this dip, but here's something better, my recipe. I love chili, and when it comes to adding fire to your food, I like to keep it simple. My peri peri, Swahili for chili, dip is quick and easy to make and keeps in the fridge for months. In my home, it never lasts. Now, I must just tell you that chili can be a bit like a anchovette. You know, you've got to turn the bottle upside down every now and then. But this is her recipe. 4 tablespoons of red chilies crushed. Okay, so that's your, I would imagine, the dried red chilies. 4 cloves of garlic, finely chopped. 125 ml of olive oil, which is 1/2 cup. And 1/4 cup of lemon juice with 2 teaspoons of salt. So it's as easy as that. It's the 4 tablespoons of red chilies crushed, 4 cloves of garlic finely chopped, 1/2 cup of oil and 1/4 cup of lemon juice, salt, put all the ingredients in a blender and blitz until it's smooth. And then, as she said, serve it with the fish or marinate your chicken wings. In the peri peri. Now, she was talking also about her wonderful Jungle Dressing, which caught my eye. And she says, I could call this my signature dressing. It makes everything from coleslaw to potato salad taste better and has famously turned Dania haters into lovers. Now, that's an interesting one because they say 10% of the population don't like Dania, as I've told you before, in coriander. My son can walk into the kitchen and he goes, Mom, I can smell it. I'm not going to eat it. But maybe this actually helps to hide the smell. So it's also a great condiment to add flavor to a sandwich and to serve with nachos and crackers and make plenty. She says it keeps well in the fridge. Now, I agree with that. If you're going to make a salad dressing, I make 2 liters of it. So here's the recipe. You can double up if you want. 1 small red onion. 1 large bunch of fresh dunya, washed and roots removed. 6 cloves of garlic, flesh of half an avocado, 1 cup of olive oil, 1/2 cup of lemon or lime juice, 1 teaspoon of salt, 3 cups orange juice, freshly squeezed. Must be freshly squeezed orange juice. And don't let any of the pips get in because that can actually make it a bit bitter. 1/4 cup of honey or 8 soft pitted dates. Sweeten the sweet ones. And that actually gives it a lovely flavor, those pitted dates. Great for Rosh Hashanah, this recipe. And then using the electric blender, blitz the onion, dunya, and garlic until chunks are formed. Add the remaining ingredients and blend it until smooth. Store in an airtight glass jar or salad dressing jug. Okay, now she has another recipe which I hope I have time to share with you after the break.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife. And you know what? I was actually thinking, I had the choice of 2 things. The tanga fritters, which is wonderful for Rosh Hashanah. And then I decided, you know, not Rosh Hashanah, I'm sorry, Hanukkah. And then I decided, you know what? We're actually coming into the holiday season. So I am going to give you mala recipe. Now, this is a drink. The mala was created as a non-alcoholic fresh fruit cocktail to serve in my restaurant. It's very popular because of its exotic sweet and sour mix of pineapple and granadilla. Nowadays, we usually serve it with white rum to complement the sweet flavors. So you will need 820. By the way, if you don't want to use rum, you can use vodka, maybe even some gin. That's become very, very popular, these gin bars. Anyway, you'll need about 820 grams of pineapple cut into chunks, 120 mils of lemon juice, so that's just under 1/2 cup, 2 tablespoons of honey, 1 tablespoon of fresh granadilla pulp, and 6 tots of the white rum or whichever liquor you want to put into it, and 1 liter of soda water. And then, of course, you can have garnishes, little wedges, small pineapple wedges for garnishing. So you would blend the pineapple, lemon juice, and honey until smooth. And then you add the granadilla pulp and just blend that briefly because you don't want to crush the pips too much. In fact, I would just sort of fold it in. And then you pour 1 tot of rum into each large cocktail glass, 1/2 full glasses with blended fruit, the blended fruit mixture, and then top up with the soda water. And garnish it with the pineapple, and you serve it. And there you have a lovely mala cocktail. Well, I think it's time for me to wrap up. Is it time for me to wrap up? Oh, yeah, it is. I'm getting the nod. So I will see you in 2 weeks' time. Remember, It's the Eat and Meet that makes the show complete. And thank you so much for joining me.